This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. At some point, I hope you do take a look at the website. There is quite a little material on the website that might interest you. You can re-listen to this program there if you would like to do that. But you can contact me either through the website or through regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, today is Memorial Day weekend, and we often look at this weekend as sort of the start to our summer. And yet, when we think about it being a Memorial Day, we know that it's a day that is going to bring into memory something. And, of course, we always think of those who have died in wars, who have protected our freedom. And that's one of the things we remember on a day like today. But there are a lot of things that we could afford to sit down and think about today and or this weekend. And there's a lot of things that we could remember. Some of us who are Christians, we don't have a Memorial Day as such. But every week, many of us have a Memorial Supper where the Lord says, "This do in remembrance of me," and we take a loaf of bread and a cup of wine in remembrance of the Lord. And some of us remember the day that we were saved. And it's always good to go back over the ground of how we came to know the Lord, because this life is but a dress rehearsal for eternity, and it's not an area where we would like to think we're right with God and yet had never really trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and prepared for eternity. And so those of us who know when we were lost and how we were saved, like the song says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." Those of us who have had that kind of a relationship with God where we once were lost, but now are found, that's something we like to remember, not just on Memorial Day, but in particular, on Memorial Day, it would be nice to remember that. And, of course, many of us have children and friends and loved ones that have never come in clear, trusting faith to the Lord Jesus. And it would be nice if this weekend they did think about their relationship with God and did realize that there's a God in heaven who loves them and trusted him through the Lord Jesus Christ by trusting in his word. And that's really what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with the people who are lost in the Bible. And Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32 has to do with a lost son. We've dealt with this passage before. It's called the prodigal son, or the passage has to do with the prodigal son, a son who was wasteful, who was sinful, who spent all on riotous living and had friends until he lost his money. But we want to talk about him this morning because we've looked in the last few weeks at the first two stories in this trilogy. The first one had to do with a lost sheep that was found, and the second one had to do with a lost coin that was found, and now we're looking at a lost son that is found. And whenever I preach on this, I think of 2 Corinthians 4 that says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." And so when people say, "I don't understand, I don't know for sure where I'm going when I die," when they say, "This is confusing to me," then I know the God of this world has blinded their minds, and according to the scriptures, that even if they're good people, they are lost, and the lost need to be found. And so last time I mentioned that when we think of this word lost, it can mean different things at different times. But what do you call someone who simply doesn't know where they are going? And we call them lost. And that's what this program is all about. We want people who listen to the gospel to come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to put their trust in him by believing in his promises so that they're no longer lost and they can say that God has promised them a home in heaven. And again, if you don't know where you're going, you're lost. And if you don't know Where you're going, how do you expect to get there? And many people say, well, I hope to end up in heaven. But if you were to start out on a journey in this life, you'd certainly get a map out and figure out how to get there, or ask somebody who knows, figure out how to get there. And so it is when it comes to spiritual things. You need to know how to get to heaven. And that's the Bible that tells us how to get to heaven. It's our roadmap. And we know that as we look at this parable, the Lord was really distinguishing between Pharisees and scribes who were lost and didn't know it, and the sinners and tax collectors who were lost, and in many cases who figured out that they were lost and were ultimately found. And the story really has to do with the difficulty of a religious person understanding their need of the Lord Jesus. And so when we look at Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11, it says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And we would call this father an enabler, because usually you get your inheritance after your father dies. But this son wanted his early. And so the father, knowing that the child apparently needed to learn some lessons, gave him his inheritance early. And not many days after, the younger son, that's the one who ultimately ends up with the blessing, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. He journeyed to a far country. You know, we're all journeying. Many people say, well, I'm getting closer and closer to God. But if I understand the Bible right, all of us, whether we are good people as far as the world is concerned, or whether we're bad people as far as the world is concerned, we sin every day. And apart from forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, every day we get farther and farther away from God. We're journeying down a path that's an easy path if we are not saved. It's an easy path. Maybe the path of what we think is right. It may be the path of good works. It may be the path of religion. But we're journeying away from God. And this young man was journeying on an immoral path. And many people are doing that today. And they think they're having fun. They think they're enjoying life, when in fact, they are losing everything. Health, wealth, friends. They're losing everything that they really could enjoy in this life. And they are blinding their minds to the truth that they're going to meet God at the end of life. And so he wasted his possessions with prodigal living, and when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And this is the point that God can help us, because spiritually, we do not look for a solution to sin until we see our need and realize how sin has robbed us. This man began to be in want. He was in dire straits. So he did what he could for himself, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him to in his fields to feed swine. So think of this. We have a Jewish boy who would have normally avoided pigs in at least their ceremonial worship of God. He would have avoided pigs at all costs, and now he's feeding swine. Pigs were unclean as far as the Jewish people were concerned. But when he came to himself, he said, I like that phrase, when he came to himself. Do you know that an unsaved person who's traveling away from God, whether religious or immoral, is not thinking clearly? This fellow didn't think clearly until he began to be in want. And he came to himself. That is, he came into his right mind. He began to think properly. And that's why the Bible talks about repenting before we believe. And he says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And here's where his blessing is. His blessing starts. The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. There was confession, real confession of sin because of his need. And the father, instead of saying, well, son, you made a lot of mistakes. Once you prove yourself, You can come back. He said no. He accepted him with open arms. He had been waiting for him. He had loved him. The father had never quit loving his son. And the father says, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. And I will tell you, there's more joy, and we've been reading it in this passage in heaven over one sinner that repents, that is over one of the publicans and sinners who repents, than over all those Pharisees who say they need no repentance. And he says, they began to be merry. This fellow had repented and believed. He had been found. He had been dead to his father, lost to him, and now he's back and he's found, and they can have fellowship together, and that's what the meal is all about. And so they began to be merry. And any of us who had a relationship restored, like this relationship was restored, would certainly rejoice and be merry. But there was an elder son in the field. And remember, I said this parable had to do with the fact that as far as the world is concerned, God is unfair. He saves sinners and he rejects those who try to do right. But those who try to do right don't realize that they're sinners too. So God really isn't unfair, is he? It's just that we've got different kinds of sins. Some are the self-righteous kinds, and some are the immoral kinds. But the self-righteous have a harder time accepting that the fact that they're lost than those who oftentimes fall into the immoral kinds of sin. And so the elder brother represents those scribes and Pharisees who thought they had no need of repentance. And when he comes near to the house, he sees what is happening. And he calls one of the servants and asks what these things mean. And in verse 27, it says, the servants say to him, your brother has come because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf. And you'll notice then the elder son was angry and would not go in. And I want to assure you today that the invitation to come is to the Pharisees and scribes, just like it's to the publicans and sinners. But Pharisees and scribes, as I've been trying to emphasize, close the door to salvation to themselves because they think God is unfair, just as this young man thought that his father was unfair. He had tried to do everything right, and he hadn't had a party. And here's the son who had done everything wrong, and they're having a party for him. And instead of rejoicing in recovering the life of his brother, he resented him, and he would not go in. And friend, I'm absolutely convinced that those who miss out on God's salvation will one day have to admit that they were invited, but they would not go in. And on this Memorial Day weekend, may there be some here who understand the blessing that comes with admitting we're sinners and repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can have our place in the Father's house and we can begin to be merry. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We ask for thy mercies in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.